Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Brad, as much as I hate to say this, you actually called the Cosmic Rewind Genie Plus price increase last week, so go ahead and get your gloating out of the way, and then we
Man,
can...
you are so lucky that I was busy with a garage sale this week, because all I wanted to do was figure out how to patch up a soundboard for a nice "I told you so" sound clip or something, but I didn't have time, so just me saying "I told you so" will have to do. Actually, I re-listened to that episode, and I will admit I called $20, so I wasn't totally right. Disney didn't get as greedy as I thought they would, but man, as soon as that $17 deal came out, four days, you're going to get bad press over 4 days, or I don't know, though. I say that. I haven't really seen any bad... Maybe I haven't been looking in the right places, but I haven't really seen any bad press about it.
No. Everything I've seen says Cosmic Rewind is incredible.
But nobody's even talking about the fact that they charged $17 for 4 days, which is dangerous, people. We need to talk about this. We have to put this out there, because if they see that nobody said anything about the fact that it was $17, that just encourages them next time to make it even higher for even longer. This is a bad precedent.
More negativity, people.
Yeah, this is a bad precedent to be setting, man. And sure enough, they sold out super duper fast. So I see no reason Disney's not going to go higher. You know, they say it's going down to $14, and I believe that it will. But, like, what's to stop them from coming back up when at $14 it starts selling out in 30 minutes? Because then they will have the excuse that you said, which is it was so popular, we had to make it higher.
It was selling out in seconds at $17, so... I don't think minutes at 14 would be out of the question. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's an upper limit to what people will pay, but God, what is that?
We know that it's not $17. So who knows where it is, dude?
I mean, I am fully planning on having to pay for this to ride when I'm there in November. So whatever it is, I will probably pay it just to be guaranteed a spot. I mean, unless something terrible happens to Cosmic Rewind and, like, everybody just stops riding it or whatever, I'm quite sure November will be very, very, very long standby lines. If they've even started the standby line by then. I have no idea.
I hope they will have started, because I hope that, you know, as long as it is functional enough,
yeah,
they will have standby lines started by then.
Yeah. I think so too, but who knows?
Yeah, so I do have some report on this, because I had a friend who was actually, who coincidentally had planned their trip like prior to the date being announced, and had actually planned to be at Epcot May 27th. So they were, you know, they then found out, oh, look, you're going to be there the day that they do this. And so they said, well, I'm going to try to get in on the boarding groups. And, you know, they'd had a lot of luck doing that with Rise, but they were also, you know, committed to, if possible, I'm just going to pay the $17, right? And they were able to get in on both. So they were able to get two rides out of it. But this also led to some information about how Disney handles suboptimal experiences when you spend a ludicrous amount of money. And yes, I do consider $17 to ride a ride after you've already paid for your ticket, well, a ludicrous amount of money.
And let's be honest, you're probably there with someone, at least one person. So that's
right,
$34.
Right. So it was actually him, his wife, and one of his kids is tall enough to ride, but the other one is not. So they were having to do a rider switch. So basically, It was him and one of his kids.
50. Oh, okay. So 34.
Right. Well, no. He paid for three.
Oh, okay.
He paid for three.
So
but
51.
They,
51 bucks.
Right. So it was him and his kid who were riding, and apparently halfway through the attraction, part of the attraction broke. And so he did not get the full experience for like half the attraction. Something about there's screens involved or something, and the screens went out. And so he got to the end, and he's like, hey, I paid $17 to ride this, and it was broken. So what can we do about that? And the cast members said, you got to ride, so I'm sorry about you.
What?
And yeah. So remember your whole thing about how Disney could really make things good with this and everything?
They just gave him a sucks to suck, huh?
Right. And
oh,
so then he went to...
Oh, gosh.
He went to guest relations, and he's like, hey, you know, I, again, paid $17 to ride this ride, and it was broken. And they said, we can give you a pass to get on test track. Does that work?
No.
Yeah, so he got a test track pass out of it.
Cool.
Again, fortunately, he was on the boarding groups as well, so he did get to ride, and said that it did work correctly for that ride, so he did get to experience it at least. But I was just floored, and again, because my expectation at where you're making me pay that kind of money to ride a ride, that ride needs to work.
The make good for that is we'll give you a free lightning lane.
Or just
that.
Yeah, or you'll credit me back $17 or what, like.
See, I would never expect them to do that. I would think that the make good
like,
for that
as a gift card.
Well,
or
but
something.
I would expect the make good for that is you get a free lightning lane to do it today. Use it today, whatever. Because
that's what I'd like the make good to be, but I do understand like if you just they don't anticipate being able to get you in or something like that. I also think it's one person, so you should
right.
be able to do it.
Well,
but
and I would think the cast member at the ride is trained to say no. But if somebody goes to guest relations, I think the make good would be, okay, here's a lightning lane to do it again. Sorry, you know, whatever. But I would expect that 99% of the people, when the cast member said, well, you got to ride, so, you know, whatever, blah, 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 bye. 90% of the people would move on. They would be, you know, a little bit mad, but they'd move on. But the 10% of the people that go to guest relations for that second, like, hey, it was busted and I really think you should do something for me, then it would be easy to get 10% of the people that were on the attraction for the hour it was down to say, here's another lightning lane, go whenever you want. And it would really not affect capacity that much, and that would be an easy way to make that good and to make those people happy. So that is crazy to me that guest relations at Epcot told him, sorry, here's test track.
Yeah, so that's so let's adjust our expectations of what a make good is.
Yeah.
Because 100% I agree with everything that you just said, but the reality is that isn't what Disney does. And also, let's not forget that this is Disney. Honestly, my expectation is they should have a way for the cast member or for that to be handled at the attraction. It shouldn't even have to go to guest services, because you're absolutely right that only 10% of people will do it, but that's 90% of people who that could wreck their day right there. And that's not supposed, like, that's what's supposed to happen at other parks.
Right.
That's what's supposed to happen down the road. That's not what is supposed to happen at Disney, because that is not the, you know, magic at all.
Honestly, it should be automatic. If any part of an attraction in the first 4 days of being open goes down, there should be a cast member at the exit that says, hey, sorry you didn't get the full experience. We have credited your My Disney Experience account with a free lightning lane to ride this attraction anytime today. So, and we're terribly sorry that you didn't get the full experience of Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. That should be automatic. And
that
should be...
That's the Disney expect. Yes. That's what you expect of Disney for that.
You need not do anything, and you should be able to come back any time later that day. And honestly, the Disney thing would be, if you get on the attraction again in any part of its B mode, then you get another free Lightning Lane for it.
Well, and I will argue that B mode shouldn't count. Like, if the attraction is designed to, if you're on Rise and you get B mode on Kylo Ren, which,
right,
let's be honest,
better,
is B for better mode on that.
Yes.
Like, yeah, that just is what it is, because quite honestly, 90% of people aren't even going to know that they got B, and you still got a full experience, but he did not get a full experience. Like,
yes,
there was no fallback for this. It was just broken. That's B for broken.
And especially
mode.
I understand, from what I understand, the Guardians of the Galaxy ride vehicle is best described as an omni coaster, meaning the same way that the Haunted Mansion points you at what you're supposed to be looking at, the Guardians of the Galaxy coaster points you at what you're supposed to be looking at. And if you can you imagine being on Haunted Mansion and being pointed at the ballroom scene, and all of the Pepper's Ghost stuff is not working,
and it's just an empty ballroom.
Yeah, you're just looking at a table and chairs and nothing else. That would be awful. And then there's no B mode for that. There's no like screen that drops down and shows you like a video of ghosts dancing around. There's just nothing. I mean, that's a major part of that attraction. That's a major feature that is broken. So yeah, you're right. I mean, B mode, if there's a B mode for it, yeah, you know, I'm sorry you got B mode, but in the case of Rise, the Kylo Ren B mode is better, and so maybe you're lucky you got that. But yeah, so you're right. B mode shouldn't count, but if something's broken, like if there was no B mode for Hondo and Hondo just stood there still and his mouth didn't move, but they played the audio
as he was talking and stuff,
or Rocket Raccoon was, you know, bent over in some weird position and he was just still talking to you at Guardians of the Galaxy or something, like and I guess now I can't refer to the Tower of Terror replacement in California Adventure as Guardians of the Galaxy anymore, because now there's another Guardians attraction. But what I was talking about is
at Mission Breakout.
Yeah. So yeah, if they don't have a replacement, if they don't have a B mode for this element, then yeah, you should automatically be gifted a free Lightning Lane to get back on it and have a good experience.
Yeah, and I don't know what aspect these screens played. I didn't ask for details because, again, trying not to get ruined on what Cosmic Rewind is.
Right.
But it's something that was broken, and he could clearly tell it was broken, even though this was his first time to ever be on that attraction.
That's the key.
That's broken enough to warrant, like, make it good. And, again, like,
I mean,
Test Track, dude.
Yeah. Test Track's great. But
it is, 100%.
It's
but
not. I mean, let's like,
It's not comparable.
Here's a fast pass to Mission Space. Like, okay. Thanks.
And nothing would have been the only thing that would have been comparable is give me my money back for Lightning Lane and admit that you screwed up. And honestly, even that would leave me with kind of a sour taste, because I still got my rear end up early enough and clicked the button fast enough to actually manage to get a Lightning Lane. Or, like you said, the one thing that would make me feel right is, okay, you can ride it again.
Here's a Lightning Lane to Rise of the Resistance.
Right.
That's the only thing at this point that's comparable to Cosmic Rewind.
Yeah, and then you still got to make it across the... But,
right,
you know, give me all day and sure, I guess. But then I've got, you know, then I've got a one-park ticket and I'm still...
Yeah.
You know, out of luck on that. So I don't know, man. But that was really, I know that we have a no bummer, but I couldn't let that not be discussed.
Right. And I mean, yeah, that's a bummer, but it's also directly applicable to something we were discussing last week, which was obvious to me. Okay. I I know no bummers, but since we're talking about this, and it's funny, Claire and I had dinner with some friends of ours Friday night, and we were talking about Disney, and I told them I have a problem with recommending Disney World to people who have never been right now, because you're paying a lot more for a lot less at this point. And I know we've talked at length about this. Magical Express being gone, the extra magic hours being gone. There's just so many things that used to be included for people staying on property that just aren't available anymore. That, like, right now it's hard to say, you know, it's a really good time for you, a person who's never been to Walt Disney World before, to go and spend this incredible amount of money. When, I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like a great value right now. And so this is just another... another reinforcing...
Another mark against it.
Yeah, another thing that reinforces that feeling in my mind that, like, something is going on right now where the value isn't there.
Well, and I think part of that is that there is a value that you ascribe to a Disney vacation.
Yeah, there is an intrinsic value that you...
Because it's Disney.
Yes.
And that's another thing. Disney.
That couple asked me, why do I like Disney so much? They said, you know, there are... I think they said there are three couples we know, you guys being one of them, where they just love Disney so much. What is it? And I had a really hard time answering that question. There's something about a Disney vacation, and Walt Disney World in particular, that I can't really put my finger on, but there's something about it that I feel really nostalgic for and that I really love, but I think right now I'm nostalgic for it, but in 2019 when I went, I wasn't. Like, there's something that's missing now that I'm nostalgic for that I still feel like, man, I wish they'd get back to this. This is kind of it's the way that I hear people talk about Apple when Steve Jobs was kicked out. So, like, the people that were Apple fans in the 80s and the early 90s, when, like, Gil Emilio and the Pepsi guy, whatever his name is, were the CEOs. And it was like these people loved Apple, and they loved what the Apple II and the Macintosh were all about. And then there were these hard years where Apple kicked Steve out and they hired these other CEOs to try and run the company, and nobody could run the company like Steve. And eventually in 97 or whatever, Apple bought Next and Steve came back to be the CEO. But that decade or whatever, when Steve Jobs wasn't at Apple and they had these other CEOs doing bad things like Apple clones, you know, people could clone Apple computers, and I just feel like this is a time where Disney fans, people that love Disney parks, are kind of weathering the storm and waiting for somebody, some person to come in who appreciated what Disney parks and resorts was about in the 90s and early 2000s, and hopefully someone's going to come in and bring that back.
Yeah, I think that there was a, you know, you talk about what you're nostalgic for. I think a lot of it is stuff like being nostalgic for Magical Express, being nostalgic for FastPass Plus, you know, being nostalgic for when Disney felt like more of a, and let's be honest, we were wrong about it then. It was a lot of work back then too, but it felt like you stepped away from the real world and into the magic,
right?
Like you landed in MCO, you jumped on a bus, and your bags were taken care of, and the bus took you straight. You didn't have to worry about how you were going to get to the hotel. You had this magical way of getting onto attractions, and you didn't have to worry about paying for it.
Well,
like, there was that kind of stuff that was available to you.
I feel like cast member training back then, there was an explicit, some explicit thing said, don't worry about how to make this work, but make people happy. If you, whatever you have to do to make the guest happy, do it. And we'll figure out on the back end how that works. And I feel like with your friend's experience on Cosmic Rewind, that is directly opposite of that, where the cast member said, sorry, you got to ride it. The sucks to suck attitude, that would not have flown 10 years ago at Disney. And
well, and let's be clear that, yeah, we don't, all that I know is what they said.
Right.
I don't know
right.
the, you know, I don't want to impart tone upon a cast member, because most likely cast members don't have power anymore. Like there definitely was a change, because cast members used to have a lot more power to do make goods they don't have anymore.
I feel like a cast member 10 years ago would have told him, just get back in line. Like, get in the lightning lane right now. And if it's still broken, get in it again. Like, I will let you ride this thing as many times as you need to get the experience you want to have. And I that would be fine. If I got to ride Cosmic Rewind 5 times, like, even if it was broken all 5 times, I would appreciate so much that that cast member just said, get back in line, man. Like, do it. Like, I want you to have... If the cast member wants you to have a good experience, I don't really care if it's broken. Like, they can't control that. But the fact that they said, yeah, just hop back in the lightning lane, I'm going to radio ahead and let the guy know you're good to go, that's fine. But the fact that they were not empowered to say that, I think is indicative of some change that's happened. And I'm just hoping that at some point in the future, leadership's going to come back and say, hey, we've gone astray and we need to align ourselves back with, you know, the old ways, the ways of where the guest is the most important thing. Because that's what made me feel great about recommending Disney is, like, yeah, Universal has a lot better thrill rides. If you want to be thrilled, go to Universal for sure. And if you want, I don't know, you know, obviously if you want Harry Potter or whatever, yeah, go to Universal. But one thing that I always said about Disney was Disney will always make you feel like you're the most important person in the world. And they make everybody feel that way. Everybody is the most important person in the world to a Disney cast member. And I want them to get back to that. And I don't really care about the other things. Like, I know in my brain, Disney is a company and their main goal is to make profit. And sure, I get that.
Yeah, but you liked the way that they went about making that profit better in the past than what it seems like a lot of their current methodology,
yeah.
is a clear shift from what it was.
I like the way that maybe they sacrificed 5 or 10% of their profit in order to make the guest feel better. And back when FastPass Plus was the thing, they sacrificed none of it. And maybe that was the problem. Or maybe that's the problem now, is that now Genie Plus is a profit center. And back in the day, FastPass Plus was not. And so it didn't cost Disney any more to let you re-ride Cosmic Rewind 100 times than it did to let you than it did to tell you, like, sorry, you know, maybe try your luck tomorrow. But now that Genie Plus is a profit center, they're trying to figure out a way to keep profits up, but also, you know, make the most people the most happy. I don't know. But my hope is that some point in the future, and hopefully the near future, hopefully, you know, between you and me, before November, somebody comes into Disney leadership and says, hey, maybe we should do this differently. And maybe, you know, what we've been doing for the past few years isn't working. Because there's definitely a shift in how Disney treats guests. And
yeah, and that shift, and let's be, I want to be explicitly clear about this. That shift is not from the bottom up. That is from the top down.
Right.
Like, there are still cast members that are working their rear ends off But there's only so much they can do. And like you said, when they're not empowered to do those things, and when they're not encouraged to do those things, it will start to diminish. And I think that is what we have started to see. It's not that the cast members don't want to have a good experience for the guests, but it feels like that is no longer the focus. The focus is no longer, we want every person to, as you said, feel like they were the most important person, because that's, you know, not our focus. Our focus is, how many people did you move through the line? Why did your line slow down? Like, that feels like that is starting to be more of the focus.
See, and this is the devil of magic bands. Because we talked about magic bands when they were first coming out as like a way for Disney to get these analytics of, you know, oh my gosh, Tomorrowland is crammed full of people. There's so many people in Tomorrowland, and we can see real time that, yeah, it is crammed full of people. So let's open up a ton of fast passes for Splash Mountain. Let's get some of these people over to Frontierland and Adventureland. And let's get, you know, let's send a push notification to the My Disney Experience app to all these people who are in Tomorrowland. And hopefully 30% of them will go over to Adventureland. That was our, that was our kind of thought of, like, okay, so the long range antennas in these magic bands, what are they going to use those for? That was it. But now it really feels like what those antennas are going to be used for is these people, you know, if they take these receivers, and I know this is getting into the weeds of nerdiness, and mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but if they have these receivers in the line, it doesn't become a crowd control thing as much as it becomes a queue efficiency thing. And so, okay, so the queue for Cosmic Rewind was only 70% efficient. What happened? The queue for Test Track was only 80% efficient. What happened? And so to take this from ostensibly a way to make the guest experience better by, you know, hopefully trying to move people from a very, very crowded space to a not as crowded space, and to take that and make it a way to criticize cast members for the way that they're handling lines, I would not like if that was the case. And obviously, we have no idea if that's the case, but if that is where this technology is headed, that would be sad to me. And I would really hope that this mythical person who comes into leadership, hopefully before November, and really looks at the guest experience would say, we need to use this for guest positive things and not employee negative things. Because the last thing I want as a guest of Disney World and someone who remembers 10 years ago is for a cast member to have a bad time. I don't want anyone to get punished for making my day better. I want that to be their job and for them to be rewarded for making my day better. I want the person who lets me re-ride Cosmic Rewind 5 times to give me a good experience, I want that to be like, oh yeah, great job, you get a bonus today, you know, or whatever. Like, I want that to be their job, not why did you let Jeremy reride Cosmic Rewind 5 times? He could have paid for individual Lightning Lane again. You know, you have now cost the company $50 by letting that guy ride this brand new attraction 5 times. So I don't know. I just hope technologically they're not using this to negatively affect cast members and are hopefully using this to positively affect guests. But I don't
right.
know.
Right. And the truth is that we don't know how this is being used. Everything
no
is just a
know. I mean
right.
Yeah.
For us anyway. But all that we can do is we can look at the results and say it sure feels like it's not being used. And on that, Jeremy, I think that if this is where the technology is headed, you can just count me out. Out of service, out of Epcot, I won't hang about.
Hang on. That's Lion King, right?
There you go. You got there, okay. Bud. Good job. Great.
Perfect. All right. I think that'll do it for this episode.
As all the best jokes, you have to explain it.
You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, have a magical day.